Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
24 minutes after 6 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, yep, we played that deliberately. And this is not a drive show on the Nada station, but rather Kaya Biz with myself, Gugule Tumfupi. Those horns are important. And what we're trying to do is actually emulate, even imitate the kudu horns that are typically blown at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Every time there's a new company that lists, especially if it's on the main board, there's a wonderful audience that gathers. The executives of the business are present. Other stakeholders are also part of the audience. And then there's a wonderful choir, an audience and team of drummers and those who blow a kudu horn. And as soon as it hits 9 o'clock and an IPO or initial public offering takes place and a listing is engaged in, there's an uproar of excitement and activity. Now, those horns that we're playing are because this later this week we will see Barlow World, I beg your pardon, Boxer, a well-known shopping and retail company that falls under Pick and Pay, listing on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and it's been met with a great deal of excitement. But we're going to talk about some of the metrics now, because one thing for many people to actually raise a lot of excitement and ask, should I buy? Should I invest? How long should I hold for? What about Pick and Pay? Is it Pick and Pay versus Boxer, or is it Boxer versus other peers in the market? One does need to understand the technicalities that are involved when it comes to evaluating and valuing these businesses. To tell us more is a good friend of the show. That's a retail analyst, Finance Ghost, who joins us on the show. Ghost, such a pleasure to touch base with you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you. It's nice to get another one of these in before the end of the year. So thank you for having me on.
If anything, I think you're very busy, because I was reading your newsletter about Marian Roberts as well. So thanks for keeping us informed on that one, right? There's no rest clearly for the wicked.
No, look, it's a crazy time of year. It's all the September reporting period. So it's either September year ends or it's March year ends, and this is their interims. So this November rush is no joke. It's like this every year. Yeah. And I am quite looking forward to it being over. I won't lie.
I agree.
We could all do with a break.
We could all definitely do with the break. But the big question that we have been getting, I can imagine, Ghost, some people have, you know, been inundating your inbox, your DMs, sending tweets. The big question we often get asked is, Boxer, is it one to buy? And the simple answer is not just yes or no, but one does need to understand the metrics that are involved in actually valuing a business, in understanding if it might make for a good long-term investment. Let's just start there, and by giving context to our audience regarding Boxer, its unbundling from Pick and Pay, and why this decision has even been made in the first place.
Yeah, so look, it all comes down to Pick and Pay's problems. Literally, bluntly, that's the reality. It's very much a transaction capital, we buy cars situation where, you know, there was one great business in the group and they needed to raise some money, and so out it went. Very similar situation here. You know, Pick and Pay is still in loads of trouble. I still think it's more trouble than people are willing to really acknowledge, or not necessarily willing to acknowledge, but just willing to understand. I think people underestimate how hard that turnaround is really going to be. And Boxer is the prize asset. And in that situation, you need to be able to say, look, you know, cut this wonderful asset loose, let it go off and fly without the overhang of being part of this other messy group, you know, raise some money in the process, go and use that to try and fix things and hope that it works. So that's very much what's happened here. And Pick and Pay priced this IPO for success. They clearly underpriced it, because otherwise they wouldn't have had a scenario where it was multiple times overscribed at the very top of the offer guided range. And when I saw the range and I went in and I looked at, okay, you know, what would that mean in terms of market cap and where the business has been trading? I mean, it was sort of a mid-teens PE multiple, sort of mid to upper teens, which if you look at some of the best retailers on the JSE is not a demanding multiple, you know? I mean, for goodness sakes, Mr. Price at the moment is on something like 22x.
And maybe,
and that's
before
Mr. Price.
Deep dive into those technicalities. This is important to know, because the price earnings ratio is essentially how much you're paying for a stock before you can expect to get your earnings back, right? That's how we look at the metric, just to make sure that everyone is on the same page here.
Yeah, effectively. So what you do is you take headline earnings per share over the last 12 months and you would divide that into the share price. So, gotcha. You know, if the share price is 100 bucks and headline earnings per share was 10 rand, then you are paying a price earnings multiple of 10, because it's, you know, the 100 over the 10 essentially. And it's not necessarily telling, it is how many years it would take to get your money back, assuming there's absolutely no growth in the earnings. Mm-hmm. But you would hope that there would be growth in the earnings. And so in reality, the payback period would be less than that.
Mm-hmm. Got you. And this is important because this is, like, I guess, the terminology that's often used in investment circles to determine how, quote unquote, cheap or expensive a stock might be. But beyond that, as you've mentioned, it's the valuation right now. And obviously there's, I guess, the net asset value and how that will translate into the market cap. Talk us through that, because when we read the headlines around Boxer being worth 2 billion rand more than Pick n Pay, it raises a lot of confusion for South Africans who think, hold on, but isn't Boxer the smaller beast between the two? But there's a lot within the metrics that actually speaks to its financial success and greater valuation.
Yeah, so it is quite extraordinary that it does come out at a higher valuation than where Pick n Pay is currently trading. I mean, that kind of tells you everything. It's not the only example of this in the markets. I mean, I've done some work on stuff like, you know, if you go and do the hard work on valuing MultiChoice South Africa, for example, where the BEE deal sits, and then you compare it to where MultiChoice Group is, because Africa is such a monumental cash burden and it's just eating up so much cash, it's actually arguable that the underlying South African entity is worth more than the group. You know, it often, you can also get to these kind of conclusions on companies where they have a lot of debt at holding company level, but not at subsidiary level. So you can end up with a situation where, say, the subsidiary is actually worth a lot more, but then you have to subtract the debt at holding company level to get to what the shares in the holding company are worth. So in this case, it's a whole combination of things. It's the state of Pick n Pay's balance sheet. Yes, it's the growth prospects of Boxer versus Pick n Pay. Absolutely, all of those things do play a role, and that's why you see this kind of weird valuation outcome. Of course, the benefit for Pick n Pay is they haven't sold out of Boxer entirely. They still retain a large stake. I mean, it's like two-thirds roughly. And, you know, that means that as Boxer grows over time, hopefully, then Pick n Pay's stake will grow in value with it. And I suspect what will happen is once the initial lockup periods, et cetera, end, because I think it's still going to take a long time for Pick n Pay to actually come right, I don't think this is the last we'll see of Pick n Pay selling down its stake in Boxer. I think there's a pretty good chance that over time they will drip feed some more shares into the market at nice juicy valuations and then use that money to try and fix the very broken story at Pick n Pay.
And that is a smart strategy, right? Keep, you know, slight ownership of an asset that can actually help you alleviate the debt burden that you have in your other assets or the holding company.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it does come with risk of throwing good money after bad. You know, we've seen similar situations play out at a group like Prosus, for example, in the pandemic. You know, selling down little pieces of Tencent in the last couple of years and then redeploying that capital into assets which were, you know, not necessarily anywhere near as good as Tencent and in many cases very overvalued. So that is the risk, is you sell down the crown jewel to try and save the thing that isn't working. But that is technically how a lot of corporates behave ultimately. And there are a lot of factors at play here. You know, there are a lot of jobs at Pick n Pay. There are a lot of reasons why that business kind of needs to come right, at least in some form. I think it's just going to end up a lot smaller than it was. And they're going to need to get very tight on strategy there in order to make it work. And yeah, they almost need to become more like Boxer. Like, this is what Boxer's achieved, right? They've kept it simple. They've grown into a niche they fully understand. And they've just delivered consistently. That's why Boxer has worked, and that's why Pick n Pay has not worked.
Got you. And I think that's also something we need to interrogate, right? That secret sauce that has worked for Boxer to maintain its margins, speaking to a market and addressing a client base that actually is consistent in terms of growth, regardless of the economic cycles that we've seen. Is this something that you think will be, again, playing into Boxer's favor when it officially lists and, I guess, competes with other retailers? The short story, question I'm really trying to ask Ghost, by also trying to show off my smarts, is whether Boxer is a buy or not, because that's the big question many of our listeners have been asking.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, I think Boxer has great growth prospects. I think they do what they do extremely well. There's every chance that they can generate a lot of cash going forward, etc. Is it a buy? Well, it's going to depend on the day of listing. For the institutions, it was an absolute no-brainer at the price that was put on the table. That's why it was so oversubscribed. In the mid-teen PEs, Boxer is a buy all day, every day, you know, without a doubt. When it starts to trade and it starts to actually then find some price discovery, I think there's a very good risk of just absolute exuberance as the listing happens and people piling in at almost any price. You'll get momentum traders looking to make a quick buck. It's very, very dangerous for investors. Historically, IPOs, not a good idea as an entry point for an investor. It's better to wait for the thing to just calm down. But it does depend on where it trades. So my viewpoint, or my opinion on this is basically in the sort of low 20s as a PE, you know, Box is kind of interesting. So roughly, you know, like 20% or so up from where the offer price came in. I think it still is reasonable at those levels. You know, it's a little bit down on ShopRite. I think, as I mentioned earlier, something like Mr. Price is just too expensive at those levels. I struggle to justify it. Mm-hmm. But if it goes beyond that, you know, if you're going to start paying a PE multiple for Boxer that is higher than ShopRite, then things are starting to get silly. So that is the one benefit of this sector, is we've got other listed companies that we can easily point to and say, hey, instead of buying Boxer, I could have ShopRite on, you know, 24 times PE, which I think is what it was on when I looked the other day. So keep that in the back of your mind. At the end of the day, these things are all competing for your money. Mm. And yes, Boxer is a good business, don't get me wrong, but it's not some like crazy tech stock that will suddenly explode in value. You know, it's going to be a grind, much like its competitors.
Got you. Go, such a pleasure speaking to you as always. And hopefully we can do just one more wrap up before the end of the year.
Perfect. You know where to find me.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much again for your time. That's a Finance Ghost. He is a retail analyst helping us unpack determine, you know, whether Boxer is a, not just answer a question whether we should be investing in Boxer. Of course, a lot more research does need to go into that if you are a retail investor. But again, if you understand the stock, if you've done your research, spoken to many other analysts, then certainly it might be one for you to consider. But we did give you some context into the valuations behind these particular companies. It's not just where the share price is trading. Where the share price is trading is how you and I and institutional investors believe the value of the business and its future growth prospects. But there's all these technical metrics are very important that investment professionals like Finance Ghost and other portfolios essentially look at before determining whether it's worthwhile putting an investment in a particular stock. So the price earnings ratio, some of those technicalities are really important. But also just think about yourself. When you look around at all the retailers in South Africa right now, where do you see most of the traffic? Who do you see witnessing a lot more activity? Where would you go to spend your money? That also helps you bring about the practicalities around the success of particular businesses and how that would translate into their profits, their earnings, that they would report in financial results, that then determines the investment or rather dividend that you as a shareholder would also receive, even in terms of capital appreciation. It's all interlinked.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.